So you want to start with what is the
history of the practicums?
Well, J.G. Bennett began running courses in 1971, in which he set out to share with people what he had learned and understood over the previous 50 years of work and searching in all a variety of traditions, but fundamentally in the Gurdjieff tradition. And he set up courses that were carefully thought out. And he himself said that they were modelled on Gurdjieff's institute at Fontainebleau in the early 1920s, although many model they may have been, but they were actually, the way they actually operated were very different. They were more formal. There were classes of particular kinds and so on. And he thought that within a year or 10 months, actually, that he could give people sufficient exposure to practices and ideas of the work, that this would be able to take root in them in a way that would be a base for their future work, and that they would be able to return to what they'd learned and have access to it, and this would help them forward in a whole variety of ways. In many ways, he was not expecting quick results, but from my experience of somebody who went on those course, one of those courses 35 years ago, that the it was more as if he was planting seeds in us that have gradually germinated, and I know this is true for many of my friends who were also on those courses, that things that they heard have come into focus and into their understanding over many years afterwards. So I would say that the main thing of it is to establish, but also the important thing is to establish a practice. Why do you need to be in a course with many other people? Because you need a certain degree of ordinary basic energy, which you get from having a number of people working together. You need to have continuity of effort and continuity of purpose, which you get by being in one place for a number of months together. If you work, when you work in weekly groups, it's difficult to maintain a level of intensity because of the infrequency of contact with other people. And therefore, certain things are possible when you're brought together in a continuous experience, a continuous effort like that that you have on a course. Not that everybody's continuously working, but that you can be pretty sure that somebody in that group will be, and therefore the continuity is maintained by the group if it's not maintained by the individuals. So J.G. Bennett, he ran a series of five courses, and these ran in 1971 to 1975. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's it. And he died in the middle of the fourth one, so that the beginning of the fourth one. And so the fifth one was carried on by various of his senior students and collaborators, including his wife. Then there were a whole series of courses at Claymont Court in West Virginia, I think about 10-month courses and 4-month courses. Since then, those courses in West Virginia stopped in the early 90s, and since then there's only been one other course offered that I know of similar to that, which was here at the Millers River Educational Cooperative in Massachusetts in 2006. It wasn't put on by Millers River, it was put on by various people who had studied with Bennett and at Claymont on courses and had come together to and Millers River put their facility at Camp Caravan at our disposal for that. And now we're going to do another one this September 5th, 2009. I'm hoping that the frequency may increase, but that depends on the demand. We've shortened the courses for practical reasons, partly because our last one we did was 13 weeks, and it was an experiment to see whether anything worthwhile could happen in such a short time. We consider 13 weeks relatively short, and the answer is yes. It's not the same as a 10-month course, but nevertheless, there is sufficient time and sufficient energy available for something to happen, and to establish some practice in oneself, and to and simply the possibility of working together with other people intensively over a period of time is a value in itself. We called it a practicum recently rather than a course, I think to emphasize, partly out of a sense that we didn't want to set ourselves up as teachers, that we would consider this as a way of, you know, which, whereas the likes of J.G. Bennett maybe could say, I'm going to be the teacher, we consider it's more a group, we're trying to do this as a group effort. The other thing we wanted to see actually was whether a group of relatively of ordinary people with some experience could transmit something or could be able to be the means by which something could happen, and the conclusion to that was yes. So that there's something, we can still have a worthwhile work together even if no individual is of any particular merit. But I think that's quite important because I think really the essence of the essence of the Gurdjieff work is working with other people. It's not a way for solo efforts. And it's quite obvious in the way Gurdjieff worked with all his students over many decades that we need each other. And it's also true, in my experience, that when we work together, we can something much greater than the sum of the individuals is produced.
I'm with Ilan Sikroff.
So the first question is, what is the general history of the practicums? How many have been held and where? So I guess in order to understand the history of the practicums, you'd have to go back to what Gurdjieff did in the early 1920s in Fontainebleau, where he established the Institute for the Harmonious Development of Man. And this was a school. His aim was to have a school, and for one reason or another didn't continue, partially because of his accident and probably other circumstances. But it was a model school of people living together over quite a long period of time. This went on for a number of years. And when J.G. Bennett attended this school just for one summer, but it made a very strong impression upon him. Changed the rest of his life, the direction of the rest of his life. And towards the end of his life, he started this experiment at Sherbourne House, which is really modeled on this institute at Fontainebleau, but it was more structured. So he set it up in terms of 10-month basic course trainings, and after the five basic courses, there was to be a sixth course, which was to be for people who had actually made something of the work that they, when they went out, went away from the practicum, which is one of the elements of this teaching that J.G. Bennett had. It was that you go on a course, and when you're finished, you have to leave. Because it was not a permanent, it was not a community, it was a school. The practicum is a school for learning fourth-way techniques. So that was the first, those five basic courses which took place from 1971 to 1976, I think it was, five or six. Those were the first ones. And then right before he died in 1974, Mr. Bennett facilitated the purchasing of Claymont Court, which was a large piece of land, 370 acres or something like that, in West Virginia, and that was to be a model society, also even more based on what was happening at the institute that Gurdjieff had. It was going to be a permanent living situation, and it was also going to have 9-month practica, or as they called them in those days, basic courses. And those 9-month courses did take place from 1970. I think in 76, I arrived there in 1977, so 1976 till the mid-80s, there were probably about nine 9-month basic courses at Claymont. in West Virginia, and they were directed by Pierre Elliott, who was a student and nephew of J.G. Bennett. Then after the 9-month courses, then there were a series of shorter courses that were also given at Claymont, and I don't know how many, there's probably four or five anyway. And these were not directed by Pierre Elliott. These were directed by students who had made something of their work at Sherborne. So they were mostly men and women who were in their mid-30s who were directing these shorter courses, 2 or 3 month courses that took place. And then the last manifestation of these practica took place. One, I think it was in 1989, there was what's called a live-in group here in Royalston, Massachusetts, which was put on by the Millers River Educational Cooperative. And that was a modification of the practicum. There was only about 5 or 6 students, but the whole community chipped in, and everybody participated. So there were 5 or 6 new students, but many people took part in the activity, so it provided they helped to provide the energy. Then 3 years ago, in 2006, there was a 3-month practicum, 3-month live-in practicum here at Camp Caravan that went from September 8th to December 15th, something like that. That was a 3-month course, and now there's preparation for another 3-month course in the works, which will take place either in September or possibly next June. We'll see how that is. The aims are multiple. There are multiple aims for these events. So I say the first aim that we have for the students, for the candidates who attend these courses. The first aim is that within the time that they spend at these events, that they have a fairly intense experience and that they come to have a taste of something that does not belong just to this ordinary life in this ordinary world. The aim is for people to actually be able to have an experience of which will convince them of the reality, of spiritual reality. It's a difficult word to use because it's so easily misunderstood. So that's why I would say the aim is for people to have a deeper experience than they ordinarily would have in ordinary life. That would be the first aim. The second, another aim is on a larger scale. The aim for these practica is to prepare people to be able to, first of all, to be able to live in a different way. In other words, that they, when they leave the practicum, that they have enough tools and enough experience, they've spent enough time, that they can actually start putting this way of living into practice on their own, or, more importantly, with other groups of people. So the aim is for this work is for people to get grounded in an experience, and then to be able to share it with others. This may not be an instantaneous affair, but that's what the aim is. I would say that J.G. Bennett's aim for these courses actually was on a much grander scale, because he saw that we are now living. He said we're at a doubly important point in human history right now. That first of all, we're at the end of a 2,000-year cycle, 2,500-year cycle, or epoch, where we're moving from an epoch that was originally dominated by the idea that man has that every man has the right and the ability, the seeds of his own salvation inside of him if he works at it. And we're moving, and that idea has grown, but it has also degenerated into the idea that all men, that men can just, instead of just the right to our own salvation, that we have the right to have whatever we want. And now, this new epoch is going to be concerned, and already is concerned, with cooperation, not only with other humans, but also with the biosphere. In other words, we are going to have to we're going to have to be working in coordination with what J.G. Bennett called the higher powers, which means that we're going to have new perceptions, which brings me to the second part of this double point, in which he says that we're halfway through what he calls a great cycle of 25,000 years, and during this, at this, each 25,000 years, there are new powers that man develops. So 12,500 years ago, man developed the power of speech, for example. I think that's right. Or maybe it was 37,000. Maybe it was one and a half great cycles.
I think so.
So we're now, and his visions includes the idea that mankind will have new powers that are already in him at a certain point. In other words, that at a certain point of our evolution, we will, for example, be able to connect with each other through what's called telepathy. So we'll have different kinds of perceptions will be available to mankind than they are now. And that this work that we're doing right now is a beginning preparation for that new period of time that's coming. Also, as it is a transition time, it is a period which J.G. Bennett also considered to be a period of maximum hazard. And everybody can see around us that, you know, the world, that we have all these very positive things happening in the world, all these traditions that have been hidden under, behind various, you know, hidden in Tibet and hidden in Native American, all this stuff is coming out, is available to anybody who really wants to look for it. At the same time, we have these very strong destructive forces in the world right now, and that we need to have a way that we can move through this time safely. So that's, you'd have to say that that's one of the big picture aims that J.G. Bennett had for these practica, is that to prepare a small number of people initially with a high quality of training so that they will be able to spread a high quality of training themselves, and so that this new way of living will begin to take root in the life of mankind.
The longer courses have a specific structure, which you could say have to do with development, to work on three phases of function, being, and will. And although these were, the emphasis of the work in those longer courses was arranged like that, this work is not something that goes on in order. First you deal with function, then put that aside, and then you deal with being. So all these things have to be, they're both sequential and simultaneous. And so the shorter courses really are involved with also working in those three areas, more on function and being. And the activities of the course are varied. They include inner work, inner exercises, practicing a range of inner exercises, both derived from Gurdjieff and from J.G. Bennett. Sometimes he took Gurdjieff exercises and developed them himself, or reorganized or simply presented them, and sometimes he formed his own exercises, and we work on those. We also work on study of ideas, practical work of all kinds, household duties and so on, is very important because A, it needs to be done, and B, the physical work together is a very useful way of making contact with each other. And you can see things about yourself in ordinary work, which is also part of the Gurdjieff work. The whole point about this fourth way is it's work in life, and therefore this is not a kind of monastic contemplative existence on these courses, it's these practicum. It's really it's a kind of microcosm of ordinary life, but compressed. So we also do, or intensified, I should say. So we also do Gurdjieff movements, meditation, and working together in the kitchen. We do a number of special, what we call special exercises, which are tasks involving, you might call, visualizing, but also effectively decision-making in groups by visualizing rather than discussion, which are very interesting and useful experiments. I think that's broadly speaking the content of them. The thing about being together is, I mean, one of the things that we're going to have to learn more as a race, as humanity, is how to work and accept each other and cooperate, not just with each other, but also with the overarching purpose of life on this earth, which we are only dimly in contact with normally. And we don't really take this into account. But one of the things about the practicum is that it develops in one the ability to work with other people. And the presence of other people, it can be a spur to one's own work. For example, the famous Gurdjieffian idea of working to bear the manifestations of other people unpleasing to oneself. Certainly you get chances to do that. But also in a much more positive sense, which can be very positive work if done rightly, but also you get a chance to really see what it is to cooperate with people irrespective of whether you like them, for example. To come to some relationship with people that's deeper than personality and much more effective.
I would say that the chief distinguishing thing about a practicum is that it is an event which is enclosed. In other words, it's an event which takes place where people come and they look, they spend their most of their energy is looking inwards. It's looking inwards in activity, but it's inwards into this community structure that is the practicum. So people who come onto the practicum stay within the confines of the location of the practicum for most of the time. There are times where people can leave. We call those exeats. And they go out and they get their shopping done and they go and relax every week or so, to just because people need to relax. But the chief characteristic is that people stay together to build certain energies together.
My experience of group work, which is, I think you could say, the common backbone to almost everybody interested in Gurdjieff's methods and ideas, is that, and I've been in groups for many years, that when you meet weekly, you get a great deal of support and you're able to do various exercises to connect with each other when you're not physically together. But when you are physically together in the same place for a number of weeks or months, something else is created. For example, many people have an experience of a work week or a seminar. Almost everybody has that. Lots of different groups use that. And I'm sure everybody's experience is that in those weeks, there is an intensity that there isn't in a weekly group meeting. That's why we do them. And we're engaged in a seminar right now for that reason. And you could say that in some respects, the practicum is the same as that, only more so, except that it's able to cover more ground, and something deepens. I mean, there is an intensifying of the energy over several weeks or months that isn't possible even in week or 10 days. And so it's a question, I think, of the purpose of this, and the purpose of keeping, by and large, having people commit to being on the property is that it's to maintain a level of work, of energy for work among ourselves, that is very useful.
Now, in terms of the content, there's a wide variety, and I think you're asking about what kind of activities we have on this, what the content is. And I would say that there's a wide variety of teachings available, and I'll just put, is there another question that deals with that?
No.
Okay. So I would say, first of all, most of the content, but not all, comes from Gurdjieff. It also, and a lot of that content comes from J.G. Bennett, who worked with Gurdjieff's ideas, and he, for example, the first thing we do in the morning, we have a morning exercise, which is an exercise of attention, and we use many of Gurdjieff's techniques and J.G. Bennett's techniques for this practice. We also engage in practical work, learning many skills. Students learn very many skills, and they practice these skills in activity. In the activity of these skills, we practice inner work. We have various tools and inner tasks which give us something more than just doing what's going on around us in the physical world around us. So we have some kind of inner life in practice. We also work with themes, and this thematic technique that J.G. Bennett developed is a way in, again, it's a way in which one goes into depth. One can go into depth. We have it as an idea or a subject for a day or for a week, and the students go in and keep this idea in their attention as much as possible. And very often, every week, we have a theme meeting, and most everyone will have an experience of going into depth in some way or another, and they share their observations with each other. And in this way, the group pools the learning that each of the individuals has had during the week. And there's usually somebody sitting to answer or to comment. One of the instructors, people who are playing the role of being the instructor on the course, will be commenting sometimes and sometimes not on these observations. So the thematic technique is very important. We also study the movements intensively. We do movements basically every day, sometimes more than once a day. The last practicum, we had a movements demonstration outside of the practicum. We traveled twice, so there's possibility for manifestation of the work outside of the community. Very unusual but important events. And we also have classes in art, in music, in psychology, Gurdjieffian psychology, Gurdjieff's psychology and cosmological ideas, as well as other paths are sometimes taught. We've had sweat lodges here, Native American sweat lodge. We've had Buddhist meditation. We have visitors who come from different paths. We've had Christian mystics who come and teach us for a few days what they know. We all paths of spiritual inquiry that have something, that have a practical element to them, can be incorporated into these practicums, into these practica. And it's just a question of balance. We want to make sure that there's, that, as I said, the focus is on Gurdjieff's teaching, but there are these other things too. Another very important very important practice that we have, which is an important part of the content of these practica. We have, every day, we have a reading, and we read through Beelzebub's tales to his grandson, the first series of Gurdjieff's writings, read aloud every day. We also practice, depending upon the environment that we have in this, in other words, depending upon the what's happening with the course, we may have fasting days, we may have days of silence, we may working with silence, and these are special work days. They're not on a daily basis, of course. But we get a taste of what being silent for a day does for our inner state, for example. We also have another important practice that we have is what's called the special exercise, in which we learn to look at a project, say, digging the garden, and we look at it and we visualize it as completed. And then we put ourselves in there and learn to work from a point of vision that everyone shares, a shared vision, common vision between all the participants. And this is a way of working in which one doesn't need to have a leader. One does not need to have a boss. It's a way that each person finds themselves in a task. It's a very, very useful tool for community living. I think that's all I'll say about that right now. Okay, so this question is about whether the practicum bears a relation to monastic training or to what Gurdjieff was doing at the priorate. And I would say it has very strong close resemblances to monastic training and very, very strong differences. Okay? So in a monastic training, again, people stay on the property. It differs from a monastic training because a monastic training is based, as far as I understand, the Christian monastic training is based on the idea of obedience to some person. Now, we do have rules here on the practicum. We have a few rules, but we don't have, for example, we have a rule that there's no drugs allowed, there's no drug taking allowed, and that one shouldn't leave the property either without permission or one should not leave the property without permission or unless it's on the schedule. You know, if it's on the schedule, that's fine, but otherwise people need to obey those basic rules. But otherwise, this teaching is, and also it's true, we have people who are in the role of disseminating practical information, practical techniques, and also whatever inner substance they've acquired over many years of practice, they can help others, the candidates with. But this teaching, Gurdjieff's teaching, the hallmark of the fourth way is that one learns to awaken one's own inner guide, one's own conscience. And to learn to live by conscience, and what it tells us. This is really the aim. And in this respect, I would say this is what Gurdjieff was aiming for at the Institute for the Harmonious Development of Man. I think it's very, very closely allied, as I said, to that teaching. But in terms of a monastery, yes, the kitchen is the heart of the monastery. The kitchen is the heart of our community. Remember that Gurdjieff also spent a lot of time in dervish orders, and he drew a lot of his understanding of community life, undoubtedly from dervish orders, as well as Tibetan monasteries, as well as Christian monasteries. And people live, we eat communally, we work communally, we practice praying, meditating, doing exercises, doing movements communally. And in this respect, it is similar to a monastery.
I said at the beginning that one of the purposes of the practicum is to give people sufficient continuity and intensity of work to develop, to establish some practice in themselves, some practices that they can then rely on and take away from the practicum and work with, and know that they're there. Another thing is that, in my experience of people who've been on these courses, they develop a certain confidence in the work that the work is a source of help. It's not something that is not a sort of, it's much more than a series of exercises and disciplines and so on, that it's that the work supports people who are working. And I think that it's possible in these extended periods of work together to come to a different picture of what the work is. And as I say, to have confidence in it. And to know that some things really are accessible and not just theory. That there really are different worlds, that the worlds of the described, you know, the world 12, world 6 and so on, that these are not just an elegant scheme but reality, and accessible, and it's not, and I think that's one of the features I would say for people who've been on this course, that not all of them, but in my experience of knowing many people who've done this, that I would say that there's a certain confidence that can come in this. And also, and so that this, and also an understanding of the need to be together. I mean, a lot of people have come from these practicums and have looked for ways of working more closely together afterwards. And there have been a number of communities attempted, not always successfully, of people who see the need for close work together and have formed themselves into groups to make that possible. Not as many as you'd expect, perhaps, but nevertheless, some attempts have been made. I think I lost my plot somewhere. And so, the benefit for the individuals is that you develop this confidence, but also you develop something in you that can really have an experience of. I think one of Risa, for example, put it that one of the aims of the practicum, she said, is so that people should have a real experience that there are, in fact, higher worlds and that these are accessible. When we were thinking about why we were doing this. And I think that's true. So how is this useful for other people? Because the world needs people who have confidence in the work and who are working. And I think, I hope that people will come from a course like this and feel some confidence, for example, if they go back to the group they're in, that they will be able to share what they've learned with the other group, with the rest of the group, or if they're not, that they will have enough confidence to find other people to work with and start their own groups. Because I'm also sure that one of the reasons we're interested in this is that in making these practicum available is that this work is more than ever needed and there aren't enough people doing it. That covered the ground? I'm not sure it did.
The third part was, is there a unique role for groups in the Pena tradition?
Oh, in the work generally?
That you can trace to the practicums. And maybe you just said it.
Well, you know, I was struck. I mean, I have to say, I was struck at that A&E conference, which was full of really good people who strived really hard, but a lot of people were full of doubt. You know, people would talk about higher emotions as if this was something unattainable. I was listening to that question, that sort of rather round-headed Englishman, you know, who talked long, you know, I forgot what his name was. Nick, was it? He was the one that said, you know, I can't, when I've got my Kestrel body, I can start to do something. I can't remember what it is. And I was thinking, you know, how it would have been great for him if, after his many decades of being in the work, he had more confidence in it. And, you know, so I think, so that my feeling is that so is there a unique role? No, I don't think it's a unique.
I think I can play around with that and make that into the answer to that kind of a question.
Yeah, okay. I just think that it's, you know, it's important in this work to remember that it's for people to do, for people to engage in. It's not for to be analysed or something. It's to be worked with. And I think that one of the things about the practicum is that you get this experience that, you know, the proverb, to him who takes one step towards me, I will take 10 steps towards him. You really see that. Sometimes people can see that anytime, but you get a really good picture of this, the reality of that, when you're working together for a long time. And then that gives you a certain, I'll come back to the same word, confidence. Not saying it's all roses from then onwards, but you know, something unassailable in oneself. People who are welcome to attend are people who are prepared to commit themselves to 3 months of work together, who have some, not necessary to have experience of the Gurdjieff work, but although it's certainly helpful if, in some ways, if people have been in groups, but a lot of people have been on courses who are not in groups, but have just seen something in this work that was, this presentation that was of interest to them. You have to be sound of mind more than body, and we had a man who, on the last practicum, who was quite severely disabled, but he was able to deal with it, course perfectly well, but it is necessary to be mentally stable. If you have a history of mental illness, it's not likely to be of benefit to you to come on such a course. Really, it's a requirement to be too committed and to be prepared to look for oneself. I think I didn't say this earlier on, that and perhaps I should have said it, that comparing it with monasteries, that the real requirement is not to take, is to see for oneself, and not to take things to be so a questioning person is needed, somebody who's not going to, it's not the sort of thing that will, there are a series of instructions passed down from on high and you follow them. One, we have to be to learn to evaluate everything that we are told by against our own experience, and out of this gradually can come our own, the working of our own conscience, which you could say is one of the main aims of the course, is to awaken in people conscience and show people that there really is something accessible. So who's welcome? I've been a bit vague. People who are sound of mind and mostly body, people who are prepared to commit themselves, people who see that there is something missing in the way we ordinarily live our lives. And they may even see that there's something needed for the whole of humanity that needs to be different, that the only change that's going to come, changes are really needed in the way we organise things, but all these changes are not going to work unless individuals work on their eradicating or at least minimising their own egoism. And practically every world problem you can think of is rooted in human egoism. And all one can do about that as an individual is to work on one's own. cover it?
Perfect.
Okay.